going to start off first thing tonight talking about orphan care. And I'm going to sit down as we do this. And I'm going to try to plug my computer in up here, guys. So I can pull up some stuff on the... Whoa. Internet. Yeah, we will. That'd be great. Hey, y'all know what that is? What is it? Church website. I'm just letting those scroll over there for a second in case you've never been there. Okay. All right, first things first. Let's go here to this. I think it's showing up okay. John shared this morning about foster care, orphans, and what the Bible says about that. And he mentioned a site and 10 ways to actually help with foster care. So I want to scroll through this to give you all an idea of what that looks like. I'm not going to read all of this. We're going to get down to the 10 ways that a church, and that's what this is about. Foster care is a church problem, not a state child welfare problem. It is a gospel issue first, not a government issue. The church has both the duty and privilege to speak on behalf of and stand for the sake of those who cannot speak and stand for themselves, because that is exactly what God has done for us through Jesus. That's the gospel. And we're going to scroll down. Again, like I said, I'm not going to read through all of this. But number one, ways in which a church can help with those who foster children. Number one, organize a meal calendar. This is something that's not foreign to us. And it's, what we may do in seeing these is it may help us to be more sensitive to being active in doing this. Number two, schedule lawn care. Help out a family who is fostering by doing their lawn for them. Number three, which I thought was interesting, my daughter was just certified as a babysitter back in the summer, but certify babysitters. It is illegal to leave a foster child with a babysitter that is not, in most cases, CPR certified and background checked. This means most families struggle to find babysitters. Host CPR certification classes at the church. Have sitters ready for families. That's a cool way to bless a fostering family. Number four, conduct dedication ceremonies. We tried to do a little bit of something, sort of in this vein. When Zoe was about to leave to go to her family, her adoptive family, but to make a big deal out of it, basically. It says there most churches celebrate parent-child dedication ceremonies during the year. Do the same for foster families. And that's something that I would like to see us continue to do here at the church as foster children come and go. Let's pray over them and pray for them as they go from here. Number five, host date night child care. Once a quarter or every semester or even once a month, the church can hire certified babysitters for a Friday or Saturday night and allow foster families from the church and community. And they have their hint, outreach. That really is a great idea. The chance to go on a date. Number six, deliver care packages. Most placements occur with little to no notice, oftentimes within hours. Have things like diapers, gift cards, baby supplies, etc. ready for immediate use. Number seven, stock a supply pantry with the things that families would need to care for a baby or for children. Number eight, build a respite care team. Certified babysitters can watch a child for a short period of time, generally less than 48 hours. So there could be a team formed that helps in that way to bless a foster family. And then number nine, facilitate support groups. Foster parents live in a unique world of state regulations, bio-parent visits, and licensing guidelines, as well as experience the emotions that come along with loving, vulnerable children. Give them a place to connect, share experiences, and encourage one another. And then number 10, pray. Pray for them. They are encouraged and they are engaged in a spiritual battle over the lives of incredibly vulnerable children. They are standing on the front lines and in the gaps for these kids while willingly placing themselves in the path of the enemy's attacks. And, well, that's so true, isn't it? As we think about folks who foster, some of you may have done that before, but we certainly have some families that have done that and who have adopted right here at New Life. You notice this, they give an example here. The church is uniquely equipped in a variety of giftings, callings, and passions to effectively eliminate the foster care crisis in our country. The opportunities to serve these kids and the families who care for them are endless and full of possibilities. Perhaps the script at your church could be this simple. At New Life Baptist Church, some of us are going to bring children into our homes. The rest of us are going to find ways to serve and support them. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And there's no reason why we can't do that. And you are. Many of you have done that and are doing that at various times. But there's no reason why we can't do that. And then they offer this visual that I can tap on maybe and make it a little bit larger for you. But in the middle there is the foster family. And then around the foster family are all of these different areas of care, support that have been mentioned. Transportation, money, respite, prayer, house cleaning, groceries, donate supplies, lawn care, delivering meals, attend court, appointments with them, car maintenance, babysitting. So on and on it goes. There's a ton of ways in which to minister to foster families. I think this was a little bit eye-opening to me. Makes it a little bit more real to me to help us see ways in which we can do that. You may have other ideas to add to this, but these are the ones that I'd like to share with you right now. We can open that up here in just a moment to talk a little bit more about it. I want to go now to the website from which the banner was taken for our website for Orphan Sunday. That's not the one we want. We'll go right here. But one of the options is a Christmas for Orphans. One of the ways in which you can minister to orphans, that we can minister to orphans. Now, take a look at this. This sends us on a link to Vision Trust. And the website is cafo.org, Orphan Sunday Partnership Packages Christmas Orphans. And when we take this website, Vision Trust, we go here. And this is Vision Trust. Their mission statement is, our mission is to develop orphaned and neglected children into mature Christians equipped to live in their own culture. We do this by enabling Christian nationals to meet the physical, educational, emotional, and spiritual needs of these children. We'll go to projects. I'm going to scroll down to Christmas. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road for us. We've seen this morning that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is what? All right, so to visit widows and orphans, emphasizing orphans this morning. That was a key passage in John's key passage in his life verse. But you can go right here, and then we can go give to a Christmas shop the gift guide. All right, so we go here to the gift guide, and we're going to flip through the gift guide. I can't really see that the way I want to. All right, so here we are. The story of Jesus. Y'all see that over to the side over there? So for $20, you can provide a 10-pack of the story of Jesus that shares the truth of Jesus Christ in a simple and fun way through this short comic-style booklet. Or $200 supplies 100 of those. You go on down to the spiritual growth kit, and then next to the discipleship teacher salary, which is investing in local heroes who teach God's Word and help students grow in their relationship with Christ. And that's for a $3,000 one-time gift. The other, the spiritual growth gift kit, rather, is for $35. And it helps children build a relationship with God by giving them a useful tote bag filled with their very own Bible and devotional materials. Next, school supplies. And you see the options there. $35 is the first, then $250 gives classroom materials, and then $60 gives access to education. Next. Is the area of health. Nutritious meals for 1 year can be purchased for a child for $65. Hand washing station can be purchased for $500. Medical care, $30, a one-time gift. Community development. In this, a family water filter can be purchased for $150. I can't remember the amount at this time, but earlier in the year through VBS and then some funds that we had in the 1% missions fund, we were able to buy a well for a community. And here you see that you can buy a water filter for $150. You can support a chicken farm. Anybody want to be a chicken farmer and not ever have to touch the chickens? You can do that for $1,000. You can launch a new program for $5,000. So the opportunities are endless when it comes to reaching children and communities to help them. Let's see here. That's the end of it. So there were a lot of options right there for us to be able to consider and hopefully to put our hands to. Honestly, if I were not a little bit afraid about doing this, I'd say, How much can you give tonight? How much can you say that you will give to go toward one of these projects? And we would promise as much money as possible, and we would buy a chicken farm tonight for $1,000. Or we would buy a well tonight, or we would do something like that tonight. But I don't want to offend anybody. But hey, let's think big as far as what we can do to reach out to a people to help them through supplying some of these things. And so you guys got the website. It's visiontrust.org. All right. Most of you can look it up on your smartphones right now and go there and think about it. You may not be able to do anything, but some of us can do some things. And that's a way in which we can minister. Really, tonight on your phone before you leave here, you can minister to an orphan. You could care for the fatherless right now tonight before we even leave this place. Does that make sense? Some of us spend more money than this going out to eat. If you have a family my size, you go to McDonald's and you spend more money than this very easily on some of these things. So let's be open to that and pray about how the Lord would use us tonight to reach orphans. You know, it might be a good idea to take up a love offering as well. So why don't we plan on doing that? If anybody can give tonight and wants to give tonight, we'll go ahead and do a love offering here in a little bit, Ping, and just pass that around to collect as much money as we can. And then if others want to make a promise to go towards something, then you can certainly do that as well. Any questions or other thoughts or ideas that y'all have about orphan care, if you want to share tonight? Where's the money going? Most of the time that I believe that when I talk to them or discuss this with them, it goes toward the countries in Africa. But yeah, it's going to be orphans probably worldwide. I may be getting the Africa confused with the whale folks that I talked to before back in the summer. Okay, any other thoughts or ideas concerning orphan care? All right, we're going to put that to the side. And really want you guys to consider that tonight, if you will. Donnie, will you grab that light right there? All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about our ministry teams. I'm going to go ahead and put this board up here that I've drawn. Beautiful, beautiful chart for everybody. And now I'm just going to admit, some of y'all's names is already on this list, okay? If you're offended, I can erase it. Most of you I've kind of talked to, or you're generally working in these areas already. So when I was just kind of brainstorming the other day, I went ahead and wrote in names. Please, y'all promise not to get mad if your name's somewhere that you don't want it to be. Does anybody promise? Y'all, all y'all promise. Okay, I'm taking that as a yes from everybody. All right, so here are the ministry teams that we're proposing so far. And I've shared this on a Wednesday night. And they're in your bulletin. If you look here in your bulletin, you can see all of these ministry teams. You have a building and grounds. I try to put them in alphabetical order. Building and grounds, 412 student ministry, hospitality team, ladies, and they're not in this order up there. Ladies ministry, local outreach, men's ministry, missions, music, NOBC kids, nursery, child care, security, sound media. And so most of those teams are up there. All of them are up there, not in the order that you have in your bulletin. And the missions team is already established. And you see the folks, if you can see it, that are serving on the missions team. And what they're doing, Aaron, do you mind just giving us a brief rundown of what y'all are doing? Yep. Thank you. They're doing a great job so far. It's been very helpful what the missions team is doing. We appreciate their work. And really, it is in the infancy stage, but what Aaron said there, to eventually get to a place where planning our own missions events, opportunities to be taking the gospel out to the world. And we go from there, to building and grounds. Byron and Les have done a little bit of work on the building and grounds already. We appreciate them doing that. Thomas and Thomas Jr., are on the, Thomas, I don't know if you're on the security team, or I don't know if you knew that or not, but you are, and on the security team, and especially in light of what happened this past week, it's being vigilant on our part to have some guys just aware of what's going on. We would like to know, I would like to know who all conceal carries. If you bring a weapon with you to church, conceal carry, then I'd like to know about that, so please let me know. If I don't know that about you already, please come up and say, hey, yeah, that's me, I do that. So So those things are good information for us to have. And, you know, men's, women's, I put Deborah and Sherry on the women's team because they've kind of been heading up the Bible study that the ladies have been having on Monday nights, 4:12, working with our youth, planning events for them, planning service projects for them, ministry for them. We need people to step up into those roles. Our youth are doing that. They work to plan the Reformation celebration and to carry that out. So that was great. And Bethany helped out in that leadership. So that's what we need, folks stepping up into that position. You see, the elders and the deacons can't do everything. And the whole body of Christ has been given for purpose so that we can all join together, link arms for the faith of the gospel as we strive together for that purpose. NLBC Kids, Yolanda and Sherry, I put their name on there as well. I've been working with the kids a lot in the program on Sunday night. And VBS, so is another area, and I know some folks are willing on that, just haven't filled in all these gaps. But nursery and child care, the only person I have on there is Bethany at this time. She's kind of overseeing it. But I know many of you help in the nursery. I honestly do not know why we could not be on a rotation to where every family serves in the nursery one Sunday. Every family, every couple serves in the nursery. What would be wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that person. I know folks are serving in other areas. It'd be hard for me to, since I'm usually up here preaching or doing something. But that's where the rest of us have to step up and fill in the gaps. Going on to music, sound, media, I have several folks' names there. Nathan, Byron, Jr., Tanner, Andrew, Whitney, Bruce. Hope I didn't leave anybody. Grant helps out with that as well. So they're kind of on that team, forming that team right now to make that part of the church what it needs to be. Local outreach, no names there. But missions is important. Evangelism is important. Evangelism is local. Missions is going to a culture and a language that's different than ours most of the time. So evangelism is reaching our community. I'm not the only one who has ideas. David is not. The deacons are not. You do too. And you have great ideas for reaching people with the gospel and stepping up and taking leadership roles to do that. Hospitality, I just put three ladies' names down there, Lisa, Marcia, and Cindy. I know there are others who are engaged in that, so don't want to offend anybody by leaving that off. Teachers, we have David, John, Joy, Wee, Aaron, Sherry, Bruce, and Jules are all at this time on there as teachers. But you see, there's a lot of categories in which you can serve. A church that has 20% of the people doing 80% of the work is not going to be a healthy church. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. It's not what we can be. It's not what we have to be. There are areas for you to serve. Now think about this. We're having a join Sunday on December the 3rd where folks who have been interested in joining New Life can join on that day. And the idea is, a person is interested in this body and being a part of it. They look at these teams, they look at the needs that are there, and they say, yeah, I want to be on the men's team. I can serve in that role. I believe I'm gifted in that way, and I can help out there. So they are automatically, not at this time, but they are automatically connected to a group of men who are helping to work together for the same purpose. Missions, a person who wants to join is passionate about missions. Oh, I'd love to be on the missions team. All right, let me tell you, Aaron's leading that. And he can use some help. They can use some help. Would you like to serve on the missions team? And then most first Sundays, or a lot of first Sundays, they get together with that group of people and begin to work together for a common purpose. You see how that can build a church and strengthen the church? I'll give you three reasons why ministry teams. The first one is this, giftedness. This gives us an opportunity for every member to do its part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible talks about this. Y'all can turn over there and look at this with me very quickly. Actually, let's go to the two places in the New Testament that primarily speak about spiritual gifts. The first one is Romans chapter 12. Of course, Ephesians 4 speaks about it as well, but we'll look at Romans 12 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you can remember 12, you can remember the two places where this is primarily spoken about, Romans and 1 Corinthians. Just remember, chapter 12. Which books have at least 12 chapters in them? You see, you kind of start narrowing it down. Romans and 1 Corinthians. All right, the first one, Romans chapter 12. Y'all look at it with me, and we'll pick up at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who thinks, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. If you're a Christian tonight, do you have a measure of faith? Yes, you have been dealt a measure of faith. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pick up in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. If you found that, would you say amen? Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the... Why is it given? Y'all look at your Bibles. Why is the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one? Verse 7. For the profit of who? It's not just for the profit of you? No, it's not, is it? The manifestation of the Spirit in your life is given for the for our profit. It's for the profit of all. Verse 7, rather verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, so but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the first reason why we're breaking this up into ministry teams and practical areas in which we can serve is for giftedness. Because we're gifted in various ways, and these give us avenues through which to use the giftedness that the Spirit of God has given us. Second, fruitfulness. If you would, turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Here in John chapter 15, Jesus speaking to His disciples right before He goes to the cross, and He's telling them the importance of abiding in Him, of staying in Him. Because if we don't stay in Jesus, what can we do? Nothing. We can do nothing apart from Christ. He was very clear about that in this passage of the Scripture. He said, I am the vine in verse 5. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. All right, now notice that word fruit right there. If we abide in Jesus, what are we going to bear? Fruit. Okay? Good. Now, let's keep going down to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much what? Fruit. So you will be my what? We are disciples of Jesus then if we are doing what? Bearing fruit. When we bear fruit, we'll stop it. When we bear fruit, we are proving, as the New American Standard translates that, we are proving that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And you see, giftedness is a reason why we break it up into teams, but fruitfulness is a reason as well. We want to give you an opportunity to be fruitful through this church. Now, if you say being fruitful to some people, they think about having another baby. All right? But I'm not going to say who, but when you look at this, we see ways in which we can be fruitful in ministry. God's given us something to do. Now, let's go to the next reason. Say usefulness or co-laborness. New word. Co-laborness. Usefulness. When this happens, we are ministering with one another. And we are actually fellow laborers with God. I don't think Dominic's offended. He just had somewhere else he had to go tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, y'all take a look at this. 1 Corinthians 16. Here, Paul is writing about some leaders in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll start at verse 13. So, giftedness, fruitfulness, usefulness. Here, in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, he says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with what? I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints." What did they devote themselves to? The ministry of the saints. "That you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied." Now, frankly, as we look at that, there's some of us here who others have been stepping up in this congregation, and they have been supplying what you have been lacking in. This is an opportunity for us to step up and do our part. And then he goes on in verse 18, "For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men." Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, we won't read all of these, but just take a look at this. In chapter 16, Paul commends. He begins to commend people. And the first one on the list is who? Romans 16, verse 1. Who's Phoebe? Our what? Sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. And he goes on and he names in verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And you go on, you look at Mary, Adronicus, Junia, Amplius, Urbanus, on and on the list goes of people whose names are sometimes only mentioned one time in the Bible and right here, but they were useful to the Apostle Paul. They were helpful to Paul in the work of the ministry. I'm here to tell you tonight that every believer in New Life Baptist Church, every Christian who has the Spirit of God in them, you are useful in this body. And there is a place for you to minister to the saints through this church. And then finally, number four, I said we were going to give you three, but actually turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we stay on usefulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking here about Paul and Apollos, and one waters, the other one plants, the other waters, but God gives the increase. When you drop down to verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, "For we are God's what? We are God's fellow workers." That either means that we belong to God or that we are working with God. We are God's working and we're working with Him. You are God's field. You are God's building. So the church was God's field. The church was God's building. And then in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For there is no other foundation that can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This gives us opportunity for usefulness in the body of Christ. And then finally, connectedness. With one another is seeing the body in action. We've already read several passages about the body being members of one another. This provides opportunity for connectiveness. We see the body of Christ in action with one another. So here's the thing that I'm laying out there before you. As you think about your role in New Life Baptist Church, if you're not doing anything, you can do something. Where will you serve? And where will you, even tonight, come up and write your name down and say, I want to serve the Lord right here through this avenue. I want to be a part of what's going on here at New Life Baptist Church through this particular avenue. And, you know, I kind of thought about it. Maybe the thing to do is for everybody who just won't sign up, we're just going to put them on child care. Okay? If you don't want to serve anymore, we're just going to put your name on child care, nursery duty. We'll let you know when you have nursery. Now, then you won't show up that Sunday. You guys are willing to serve. I think every believer wants to serve the Lord. We want to bear fruit and be His disciples, don't we? And the thing that we don't want is for someone to come to New Life Baptist Church and think that there's nowhere to be faithful to the Lord, nowhere to connect. But really, we want to be serving the Lord and for people to join with us. What is the purpose statement of New Life Baptist Church? Two of them. Here it comes. To be a thriving community of Christ followers striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do you all see how engaging in something like this with teams where we're intentionally serving the Lord allows us to fulfill our purpose? To be a thriving community who is striving together for the faith of the gospel? Does that make any sense? What questions do y'all have about this that I probably can't answer? Anybody have any questions, thoughts, additions to this? Maggie? That's a great question. And I think that some kids are already doing that in various ways. I know that Grant helps out in the sound booth. Some of the older kids help out with some of the children's stuff that is going on. Some of the kids, I know, Maggie, that you've even helped out in the nursery some, right? So there are avenues for children who are, you know, responsible and able to grow up in the church serving the Lord in these capacities. Our youth are sort of taking some of those things on themselves, and they serve through the Reformation celebration that occurred the last month. So I think the kids can fit in these different areas, obviously probably not in a leadership position, but serving along beside adults and helping out where appropriate. We're certainly open to that. What we don't want and really can't have are non-church members serving. If a child is a part of a family that is that are members of New Life Baptist Church, then and they are able and willing and capable, then I can see them getting in the flow of things and serving in different capacities. But as far as non-members serving, we really just can't have that because we've got to protect the church. And there has to be a level of commitment to this body before folks can come in and start serving on these various teams. Great question, Maggie. I hope that answered that for you. Anybody else? Jules? Well, I guess kind of my thinking on that at this time is that we have three deacons, and they have responsibilities already, and I don't want our deacons to feel like they have to be involved in every one of these teams, because I think that's just going to stretch them too thin. We want to, as a leadership body, David, myself, and the deacons, be available, receive requests, talk about those requests, answer the requests back in a timely manner if possible. But we want folks on these teams to take ownership of them and to take leadership positions. to become a leader in on that particular team and really try to run with it. The way this works is the building and grounds, they like for instance, the building grounds or the missions team, they don't just say, all right, here's what we decided we're going to do, let's get this done. But they are mindful of these various ministries, these various areas, and then they can come and present that to the leadership and say, we propose that we take the 1% mission fund and support the Berlin family with that because they have this going on and the money could be used well there. All right, great. We haven't had to think about that. We haven't had to research to try to find out where to use that money. But the missions team who has thought about it presents it to us. We say, yeah, let's do that. Or, you know what? We know of something else that's going on. We really need to use that money over here right now, but maybe we can do this. So we, right now, I just view the leadership being available and accessible. The leaders should be serving on a team, but they don't necessarily have to be the leader of the team. Okay? So be accessible, receive requests, but we want our folks to step up and take the lead on teams and not rely on deacons and elders to lead it. Hope that answered that a little bit, and really still forming some of these things is how it work out. Nathan, can you use anybody in media and sound booth? So, okay. Right, let me ask y'all this. Does working in the sound booth profit all? Does expertise in that area profit everybody? Sure does, doesn't it? And the cool thing about it is, like I told y'all before, if anything in the service goes wrong, we just blame it on the sound guys. Okay? Bad preaching, it's their fault. You know? The sound should have been better. All right, thanks, Nathan, for sharing that. But that's an option there. All right, anybody else? Nathan?
Something that article that you're referring to about the sound of that call, yeah, is based on people observing that the book sounding off of media complains and stuff that's not at fault. But in this church, I have never been blamed for something that's fault. And saying, yes, you guys can depend on me. I will be responsible for the men's ministry or whatever. You're putting yourself out on a limb. But there is such an attitude of let's work together, let's not judge each other, let's help each other improve. That, don't be afraid to help.
Don't be afraid to help because there's a lot of grace in the congregation. Perfection is not required.
Anybody else? Whose child was that? All right, so the board's up here. There's markers up here. Tonight you can come up, write your name in. Talk about serving the Lord in this capacity. Yes. Who? Deborah?
Yeah.
And but it was just so encouraging when, you know, other people are sharing, you find you have so much in common. And that's just been a real encouragement to me, the ladies to come together.
Good. Are y'all willing to do that again sometime? Y'all have a date set yet?
After, yeah, we're thinking late January, maybe early February, another
show. That brings us to next year's calendar. I have a date set for you, January 2nd. No, I'm just kidding. I just wrote it in there.
Brainstorming on some things for next year so that we can be looking ahead to implementing these teams and how that's gonna work out. So got a few things there. Father's Day, Mother's Day. We want those to be big deals around here because that's all important. We want our children to be a big deal because they are a blessing from the Lord. And there's several things on there, including Super Sunday in July that we had our first one this past July. We want to continue to do that. Hopefully we can have a big fireworks show every year like we had this past year. Our community will get to know about it. They'll come and they'll be a part of that. So that can be a community outreach. And so go ahead and looking forward to some of those things. If you have ministry ideas for us as a church, then, hey, let us know about those. I'm not saying we'll do everything, but you and your thoughts are important. And your leadership is important to step up and serve the Lord, minister to the saints. It's about the gospel. Sometimes we think about when it comes to the gospel, it's all just going, going, going. And we've got to be going. But right here in this body, there are people who are lost. They have not obeyed the gospel. They have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can teach a class. You can disciple. You can share the gospel. You can be a valuable part of someone coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, good deal. What's the purpose of New Life Baptist Church?
Come on. Somebody over here, what's the purpose of New Life Baptist Church? Right. Say it one more time.
Striving community of Christ followers, striving together.
You deserve this.
Yes, she does.
Okay. Striving community of Christ. Ah, somebody in the middle. What's the purpose of New Life Baptist Church?
Striving
community of Christ followers, striving together. All right, you go. Take that to Maggie. Don't eat it on the way. Take it to Maggie. All right, y'all both got it. All right, somebody on this side again. Need somebody besides Thomas. It's going to be tough right here, I can tell. Well, the purpose of New Life Baptist Church to be a... Go ahead, John. Come on.
Thriving community of Christ followers, striving together.
Good job. There you go. All right. Just divided among your family. All right. Well, it's been fun. If y'all have questions, further ideas, let me know. Come up and plan to serve the Lord somewhere. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for a good time together tonight to kind of see, Lord, where you're directing us. And we really want to be used by you. And we are weak and feeble and pitiful, Lord, left to ourselves. We cannot do anything apart from your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to abide in Jesus, to abide in the vine, that we might bear much fruit and prove to be your disciples. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you afresh tonight and pray, God, that you'll glorify yourself through us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.